Okay. Wednesday, 12:31, 25. Happy birthday, Amber. I want you to send this to her.
Send this teaching to Amber.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is How Faith Works, Part 24. And the title, subtitle, Speak No Evil. Look at a couple of scriptures first. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, I tell you, the way I hear people talk, they talk death. They talk death out of their mouths, and they don't even know they're doing it. They don't know that we're made in the image and likeness of God. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. That is quite a statement right there. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Yeah, the tongue's a small thing, but it rules the roost. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Think about a forest fire. You know, it used to be Smokey Bear, one match can burn down a whole forest. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of all things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, either vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt and fresh water? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I thought that went well with that. Brother Hagin's secret. Why was he never sick? Why didn't he have to use medicine of any kind? Why didn't he go to the doctors? I remember reading his books, and he would go to a doctor. He would not, if he needed to, but he said he just never needed to. The only time he ever went was when he had the accident that time and had to have surgery on his elbow. The Lord told him to go on. And he was on a sick bed when the Lord raised him up. But he said, I just never needed to. Yeah, if I needed an aspirin, I took an aspirin. If I needed to do something, I would have done something. But I just never needed to do anything. What are you going to do with that? You're going, say what? But that was Brother Hagin. He said, this is the secret ingredient in how he operated. He said that if he had a symptom, he would not say anything about it. He said that if he was experiencing something, he would never tell it. Never tell it. Never tell it. What do most people do? Go tell it on the mountain. We got 150,000 people praying for you, all different things, and they're probably cursing you under the breath. Do Do you see the fallacy in this? He said that if he had a symptom, he would not say anything about it. He said that if he was experiencing something, he would never tell it. That doesn't mean he didn't experience them, because I know for a fact he did. One thing I've noticed about people when they go to a physician and get a diagnosis, they tell everyone. Anyway, they ask everyone to pray. Oh, pray, pray, pray. I just need you to pray. Pray what? Do they ever ask what? Not very often. Unless they're dealing with a person that really is an intercessor and does pray for people, they will probably be specific and ask you, how do you want me to pray? Man, with the squirrely way that people pray, that is a terrible mistake to even let it be uttered out of your mouth that anything's awry. Now, to agreeing is one thing, but airing it makes the situation worse, not better. You don't know where they're going to spread that. Oh, did you hear? Oh, so-and-so, he's being diagnosed with this, and head doctor says he's going to die. And that's what they're going to hear. For you know what, they got him in the grave. But it's the person's fault for spreading it. Okay. What Brother Hagin walked in was simple but profound, and it is the Bible way. We're going to read a few scriptures in the Psalms and Proverbs. There's so many. I picked out a few. I'd be here all day if I read them all. I mean, I'm telling you, talk about the mouth. Okay, first one is Psalm 17:3. This isn't rocket science. I'm telling you what, it's laid right out of Scripture, as plain as day, as simple as can be. 17 verse 3 says, Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Why? Because whatever you experience is false evidence appearing real anyway, and it's the devil on the other end of it. What has he come to do? What is his biggest thing that he does? He comes to steal the word. If he can get the word out of you, this is Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's another one I didn't put down. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Psalms 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And guess what? Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says, we've been made in his image and likeness, after his kind. I'm going to go read that because I don't want to miss any words. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Did God take dominion? He sure did. When he saw what he saw, he said, light be, light was. He took dominion. He took charge of the situation. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And subdue it. In other words, bring it under your feet. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. made God's image and likeness. Act just like him. Thing is, people do it in reverse. Do it the wrong way. It'll work either way. Psalms 37. This is 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and the tongue talketh of judgment, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. These scriptures are great. This is 39:1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Proverbs 4, we all know this one. This is starting with 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let not them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. All about words. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of my mouth. We don't understand sometimes when we're asking for prayer, we let words loose that we shouldn't let loose. Did it say ask them to pray well? Yeah, the elders. If you need to be prayed for in the prayer of faith, shall say the sick, the Lord shall raise them up. If you have sins, they'll be forgiven him. But on the other side of it, what does it say over there in Matthew 6? Your father, come to him secretly. Don't pray like the heathen do out in the synagogues with a loud voice for everybody to hear so you look spiritual. He says, come before me. Make your request known to me. I will see in secret, and I will reward you openly. Okay. Brother Hagin never needed to go to the doctor or take medication because he would keep his mouth shut and that kept his soul out of trouble. Proverbs 21:23. There were so many in the Psalms, I just skipped on over to Proverbs. I'm thinking, I said I'd be here all day. 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. What happens when you tell it? They tell someone else and they say, did you hear about so-and-so? And they're dying, and blank, whatever. Fill in the blank. Here we go from one to the other. Who needs that? I don't. Before you know it, you have bad spewing all over the place, and all you did was request prayer. Well, if you ask the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father says he sees in secret and gives the answer openly. This is the truth about the matter. Matthew 8, here's another truth about the matter. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, verse 14, laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So we know Jesus already took all sickness and all disease when he took the stripes on his back. How do we handle our situation according to the Bible? I just told you about Matthew 6:5-6. We'll just read it. This is the problem. People get scared and they run to their friends and they run to their prayer group and they run to the prayer line and they run to the preacher and they run here and run there. Right here. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Then he talks about praying the Lord's Prayer. His kingdom come, his will be done. See, the Father knows everything, and he knows what's going on, and he knows the answer. And he said, don't take a thought for your life, right? Well, if we were taking a thought for life, we wouldn't be asking for prayer, would we? We'd be saying, Father's got this. Just food for thought. Loose lips sink ships. Salvation is an inside job in every way. You know, we're to pray in the Spirit, receive information from the Spirit like Jesus did and did what the Father. He said, it's not me doing the works, it's Father in me doing the works. It's no different in prayer. It's an inside job. We communicate and receive instructions all from the inside. We do not need multitudes of people praying for us. If that is needed, the Heavenly Father will tell them from the inside to pray for you. Somebody will come up and say, well, I had a burden to pray for you last night. Brother Hagin tells of a service he was in and how they prayed for a lady that was dying. Her next door neighbor was relaying the information. And she was saying, we really need to pray for her. And the doctor had come in and said, well, it's not looking good. So the church prayed, the pastor and the congregation. Well, she made it through the night and she had a turn for the better. And the doctor said, put her in a chair and she looks like she's going to make it. Well, they go back to church and that same old lady gets up and says, well, you know, we need to really start praying that, you know, we make sure God completes the work as if he didn't do it the night before. And she dies. No, thank you. Don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. Satan comes to steal the word. The ways of the world have infiltrated the church. People in churches are just as sick as the people in the world. I remember Brother Fred Price talking about the delivery man coming to the door with a box of snakes. It stamps danger snakes all over the box, but you accept the box into your house, you open it, and the snakes are all over the house. And he said, then you want the pastor to come help you clean up the snakes. To me, this scatterload praying is about like having a box load of snakes. Anytime someone asks me to pray, I'll say, how do you want me to pray? How can I agree with you? I get specific. And I've been very adamant with, I don't have that many, but the few that I have, I've been very adamant. I will pray specifically like you tell me to. And I've told them because I've been on, one time I was on a text and I'm telling you within 5 minutes it was 40 of them. I'm praying. I'm going, praying what? It's like a shotgun prayer. Hoping something misses. No, I said, we'll praise. I'll agree with you, but we will agree and we will have the same thought, say the same thing, or we won't agree. Okay. To not pray in agreement is like opening that box of snakes. I have personally spoken to someone that is awful about this. They just panic. It's just like the hen party out here when on that app. There's a dog in the street. Oh, my God, tell everybody. And I get 15 texts telling me there's a dog in the road. That's kind of the way with the praying that it is. It's like, do I really need to know there's a dog in the road? Okay. God showed us in the beginning. Jesus demonstrated it when he was here. He kept his mouth. He only did what the Father said do. He was about to raise the dead, or because he did that, he was out and about raising the dead, speaking to fig trees, healing withered arms, walking on water, feeding multitudes, turning water into wine, and many other great works. Because he prayed, and Father showed him what to do. Jesus didn't have any failures because he didn't act independently. He did it the right way. Blab it to everyone and your woes become bigger. The more the merrier is not how you get answers. Blab it and grab it. It's not how it works. It's like, let's get these prayer chains going so we got thousands of people praying over the situation. It just takes two. Two to put chase 10,000. Two in agreement. Two hearing from God. One hearing from God. 1,000. That's keep your mouth and keep your life, for therein lies the power, and that is how to keep your soul under control. If you find yourself in a situation where you believe you need prayer, then you can go to the elders of the church, and they will discern by the Spirit the right way. And it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. See, there'll be spiritual insight over the situation to give them wisdom, but it'll be a private affair, not a televised conference.